Morning. We're going to hopefully finish the parak today. And we're on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and we're right in the middle of the page. Starting today with the words Amar Rav Chista. We talked yesterday about partnerships. Okay, so here's what we know for facts. So if there's a partnership on an animal between Jew and non-Jew, and let's call an even partnership, 50-50, that they have over the animal, so the animal is going to be exempt from matanos. There's no requirement to give matanos from such an animal. As we know, the matanos of a non-Jew is pater, and even if it's not, if ownership in the animal is not 100%, even if it's only 50%, nevertheless, that's enough to exempt and excuse the animal from matanos. The discussion comes up, what if he is a really, really small minority partner? And not only that, but let's say his partnership is limited not just to... Sorry, let me present this clearly. Let's say his partnership is not over the whole animal, but just a portion of the animal. Meaning he's only a partner in the leg. He's only a partner in the head. In other words, so he's not even interested in the entire animal. Just a partner in part of the animal. So that was machlokus yesterday that we saw between Rav Huna and Chiya bar Rav. Rav Huna says that if you're a shutta barosh, you're patur min alechi. Shutta biyad patur min azro. Shutta bivnei mayim patur min akeva. Meaning, Rav Huna says, these matanas, these gifts that come off of an animal, we're going to separate them. They're not one unit, but rather they're three separate matanas. So if a non-Jew had a partnership in just the head of the animal, so that's going to only exempt the head, which was the lechi. If he's a partner in just the arm of the animal, so then he'll be exempt, but only from the zroa, etc., etc. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Chiya bar Rav disagrees. He says that even if the non-Jew has a very small minority portion, and even if his minority share is only just in a limb of the animal, it's going to exempt the entire animal. That's the machlokas we saw yesterday. Amar Rav Chista hamasnisa atisa lechia barav. Continuing in the Gemara from where we left off yesterday, Rav Chista says, I know, in other words, the Gemara said conclusively Rav Huna is correct. In fact, the Gemara yesterday brought a braisa in that said clearly like Rav Huna, that the exemption is only limited to what he's a partner over. So, but Rav Chista says, but I know why Rav Chia, what misled him, right? The Gemara's language is ati isi lechia barav. What led him astray? And what was it? It was the following braisa, Ditanya. Esim va'arbana matanas kahuna hain. There are 24 matanas kahuna. Now, the Torah never uses the number 24. You should all know. 24 is just simply a Masorah. It's a tradition that we have that there are 24 matanas kahuna. And now what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to list off all 24. V'kula ninu la'aron levanav. Now, when they were given to Aaron and to his children, they were given bechlal uprat uvris melach. They were given using methodology of klal uprat. Right? Rashi quotes the psukim, first long line of the page, Vayikach korach lechol kachay b'nei Yisrael lechan nesatim. I've given it to you. Right, Rashi says you'll find everything here in Korach. Meaning, by the way, all the matnas kahuna, not all, most of the matnas kahuna are found in Parshas Korach, simply because Korach says, hey, I want to be Kohen. So, and Moshe says, no, that's not your job. You have other jobs. And, right, everyone knows what happened at the end. And then the end of the Parsha says, and oh, by the way, here's what the Kohen gets. So, right, Rashi says, kol kachay b'nei Yisrael lechan nesatim, all the kachay b'nei Yisrael, and then afterwards it explains each one. So it's klal uprat. And there's also bris melach. Bris melach, covenant to Saul, what does that refer to? So at the end of the pasuk, it says bris melach olam hi. This is a covenant of salt. It's a funny way to ratify a covenant using salt, but the idea behind salt is that salt is a preservative. Salt keeps things. And just like salt keeps things, this gift to the Kohanim, it sustains. It's a preservative. You want to say it sustains the Kohanim, you want to say it sustains us, but that's the basic idea. Kol ha-mekayimam ki lukim v'chol ha-prat v'ritz melach. If you're mekayim, so you're mekayim at all. V'chol ha-over aleihem, but failure to do so, failure to give the manos kahuna, ki lo over al v'chol ufrat u'brit melach. You're in violation of the klal, the prat, and the brit melach. V'ein v'eluhein eser b'mikdash v'arba b'shaim v'eser b'gvulim. Now your numbers for the day, today are going to be 10, 4, 10. 10 in the Beis HaMikdash, 4 in Yerushalayim, 10 outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now the 10 that are in the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi explains, and it'll be clear as we go through the list, those 10 meaning you have to eat them in the Beis HaMikdash. There are 10 matnas kahuna, where the only place that the Kohen can eat it is in the Beis HaMikdash, 10 where you have to eat them, I'm sorry, 4 you have to eat in Yerushalayim, and an additional 10 that can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. And they are, as the Begvul, we're going to go through this quickly, as it's really, this entire Bryce is brought down, just explain to us why Rechia Barav got it wrong. That's the only reason why we're bringing down this entire Braisa. And they are, number one, Chatzos, number two, Chatzos Ha'of, the bird Chatzos, number three, Hashem Vaadai, your definitive Hashem, number four, Hashem Talui, you may have violated in Issar Karis, you don't know, number five, Zivchei Shamit Sibor, right, Shamit Sibor, public Shlamim, it's only one, right, Shavuos. Okay, the velog shem shel metzora, right? The oil, the extra oil of the metzora, meaning that there's a little bit of application of oil on the metzora, and the remainder of it is eaten by the kohanim. They put it right in their salad, but the salad can only be eaten in the temple courtyard. Shtei halechem, two loaves of bread, the lechem apanim. All these can only be eaten in the azar. They're all kachim kachim. Shayari menachos, any leftover mincha. Mincha that's brought by a non-Kohen, the Shayarim, the Shirayim is eaten by the Kohanim, only in the Azara. Minchas Ha'omer, okay, that's the second day of Pesach. So those are your 10. 10 Matnos Kahuna that can only be eaten in the Beis HaMikdash. Next, Arbe Yerushalayim, HaBechora, Bechor is a Shlamim. Has a Din Shlamim, therefore has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Mor Min HaToda Me'el Nazir, that which is separated from the Toda. What is separated from the carbon Torah, tart is made up of 40 loaves of bread, made up of 4 different types. You take one from each of the types, that means 4 loaves in total, give it to the Kohen, he has to eat that in Yerushalayim. Also, the El Nazir, when the Nazir finishes his Nazirus, he brings a carbon, portions of that carbon, specifically the Zroa B'Shela, the cooked leg of that animal, is given to the Kohen. Aros Kachim, and also Oros Kachim, the hides of Kachim. That's a difficult one, admittedly, because the hides of Kachim, huh? It's not eaten, it's not meat. It's outside Yerushalayim. Okay. Again, this is not our main topic, but Tosus recognizes that's an issue. Okay, we move on. Esa Bigvulin. 10 outside of Yerushalayim. Truma's Meiser. Chala, right, the portion that you take off the dough. Reishis Hagez, the shearings, that's the next parak of our Masechta. Matanos, the gifts, I told you, every time you see the word Matanos, that's a reference to Zorlachai Vekeva, that's our parak. Pigeon Aben, the 5 slime that go to the Kohen to redeem your firstborn son. Pigeon Peter Chamor, a firstborn donkey has to be redeemed with a sheep, end of Parshas Bo. Stay achuza, stay charamim, types of fields, stay achuza, ancestral fields, stay charamim, consecrated fields. I'll tell you what, when we get to Erchin, we'll discuss that in detail. Stay tuned. And finally, Gezel Hager, you steal from a convert, and he dies, and there's no one to return it to, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's Matnas Kahuna that can be enjoyed anywhere in Israel. Now, period. End of the Braisa. 10:4:10. Who suffered? He thought, he now going back to Chia Barav, who thought that the 3 matanos are collectively one unit. And therefore, if a Kohen or a non-Jew were to have a partnership, even in one of the units, it would be an exemption of the entire animal. Why did he think that? Very simple. Who suffered? Midika chashuv lu matans bechada. Chada ninhu. Because you go back to the Braisa, and when the Braisa counts are 24, how does it count matanos? One of the 24. Meaning collectively the gifts are all one. Not bad. Meaning, and that's why he thought that the 3 of them are all one, and that's why he thought that if even a partnership in one of them would be an exemption on all of them. Velohi. And the Gemara says, but that's just not accurate. Meaning, even though that's true, in the Braisa they're counted as one, but that doesn't mean they're one. It means categorically they're one, but it doesn't mean collectively they're one. In fact, the Gemara says, I'll tell you how we know for absolute certain that that's the case. Because, look, of your list of 4, right, go to that list of 4, and you go to number 3, okay, I know, you got to go back a little bit, you got to remember, Murim min atoda and El Nazir, the portion that's taken off your carbon toda and the El Nazir. Now, they're lumped together. They're the same? Of course they're not the same. So in other words, categorically they're the same, but of course, collectively they're not the same. But over here, the 24 that we're listing over here, they're like avos, if you will. They're like broad categories. So if categorically two things fit into one, so we'll put them into one. It's the same thing with the matanos, meaning the matanos is composed of three separate gifts from each animal. Categorically, we're going to put them in one category, but of course they're separate. Period. Okay, end of that discussion. That gives us a somewhat of an insight into what Chiya Bar Rav was thinking. E by Elohu. Okay. Harosha Chavakula Sholi. Cohen is selling an animal. And he says to the buyer, here's the story. Now, remember, the animal now belongs to a Cohen. And he says, Roshcha Shalcha Vekula Sholi. I'll tell you what. I'll sell you the head, and I'll keep the rest of the animal. Now, that's a little strange.
Is it a live animal or dead?
No, in other words, they're preparing to shecht it.
Okay.
And prior to the shechita, he goes over to Guy and he says, look, I'm not interested in the head, the brains, none of that interests me. I'll sell you the head, but I'll retain the rest of the animal. So, mahu, basr chiyuv azlinu, v'chiyuv agabi yisrael hu, odilma basr ikar behem azlinu, v'ikar behem adekoin hu. Look, if all he's giving away is the head, that means that the animal really is shaykh to the Kohen. Right? He's the owner of the Iker HaBehema. The main part of the animal belongs to the Kohen, which means that animal has an exemption. That means that the head that was given to the Yisrael is exempt. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, says the Gemara, is, but look, bottom line is that the Yisrael owns the head of an animal prior to Shechita, and there's a requirement that you have to give Matanos. And so therefore, you're required to give the head to the Kohen. Even though it's going to be so bizarre, because that's the only thing that was given to the Yisrael, and now he's got to turn around and give it to the Kohen, but, you know, laws are laws. And,
well, not the whole head, just part of the head.
Right, right. In other words, maybe he could keep the brains. Right. So, So Tashma, so the Gemara says, but that, in other words, it's a good question, but what the Gemara says, I'll give you a very definitive answer, Tosefta. Ovekocham mekomish amas ritzonam liYisrael legzoz pater halokeach. Guess or no? I'm sorry. Pater, Sorry. Thank you. A non-Jew or a Kohen who hands over their animal to be sheared, and so now whose animal is it? Kohen's animal or non-Jew's animal? Now the shearings that were sheared by the Jew, but so what? In other words, the animal belongs to a non-Jew. Wait. Not yet. Don't come to conclusions yet. So pater. Halokech getzono shel vekochavim pater. If you buy the getzono, the shearings from a non-Jew, so you're going to be pater. Why? Because while it was sheared, it was under the ownership of a non-Jew. That's fine. Meirashis, I'm sorry, pater meirashis agez. V'zeh chomer bezrov v'lachay mekeva yosem meirashis agez. And this is a chumra that you have from zrov v'lachay mekeva over that of reishis agez. So in other words, it says that if you buy the shearings, so you're going to be exempt. And then the Braisa says, but this is not true by Zoro Lachai V'keva. By Zoro Lachai V'keva, things would be different. So what do you mean things will be different? So you'd be chayiv, you'd be obligated. Meaning if all you did was get the head of an animal, you'd be obligated. Shema mina basar chiyuv azlin and shema mina. So the Gemara says conclusively, look, even though the Iker Behema belongs to a Kohen, but you own the head, you own the part that's chayiv to give the matanos, you got to give the matanos. So, in other words, it was a bad business decision. Right? You bought the head and you think, oh, it's a Kohen's animal, and meanwhile, yeah, but you bought the head prior to the Shechita. By the way, if you bought the head after the Shechita, you'd be fine. Meaning, because it's the Kohen's. He could do whatever he wants with it, including selling it. Okay, imam alochutz min amatanos, patam min amatanos. Uriminu. Okay. What did we learn back in the Mishnah? That the Kohen says to you, I want to sell you. No, sorry. That's not the case in the Mishnah. Let's go back. Mishnah is on the back of Kuf, on the bottom of Kuf on the base of Aleph, and the Mishnah says like this: Amar Mechorli B'nei Me'el Shapar V'Hayu B'Hayu Matanos. No, not that Mishnah. Sorry. Where's this Mishnah? No, I was right. I jumped ahead. Sorry, same Mishnah. Bottom of Kuf Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph. Hashoch lekon lave kochav patam min amatanos v'amishtatif men tzarach lishir yisham. V'im amar chutz min amatanos so patam min amatanos. Right. Okay. So you say, I'd like to sell you, the Kohen says to the Yisrael, I'm going to sell you this animal with exception to the matanos. Okay. So the Yisrael is exempt. Good. So the remainder of the Gemara says, but I'm going to ask you a question. Because what do we learn? Aminas shahamatana shali, notes in the Kohen Shiyirsa. Let's say the Kohen sells you an animal and he says, look, I'll sell you the animal, but let's cut ourselves a deal. Right? A little backroom deal. I'll sell you this animal, but when it's time to give matanos, you know what I'm just saying. I'm available and I'm right here. He actually says it's stronger than that. He says amanas, meaning I'll sell you the animal, but on condition that you give me the matanos. Now that's a blatant violation of the Torah law. The Torah says that the owner of the animal has a right to decide. So you cannot be forced, coerced, or bribed in any way, shape, or form to direct the matanos to anyone. That's the whole definition of a matana, is that you determine who the recipient is. So, amanasha amata. No, but you give it to him, and then you can make a condition. You can connect a condition to a gift, but here it's more than that. The Kohen is telling him, "You're gifting it to me," meaning. It's different. Here, the condition is on the gift, meaning I'm telling you who to give it to. Right. If you're telling it to who to give it to, that's not a gift,
right?
And more specifically, you're telling him to give it to me.
And what happens if he doesn't?
I'm sorry. The Braisa says you don't have to give it to him. Meaning, and what about the fact that the whole sale was built on a condition? And you know the rules. In other words, anytime you attach a condition, if you don't fulfill the condition, the sale should be void. Not here. Masna mashakasa b'torah. Because that condition, you can't make a condition to override the rules of the Torah. Okay. By the way, now my point, Tosos, first top Tosos on the page, says your masna mashakasa b'torah. Okay. Because the Torah allows you to give it to whoever you want. Good. Amenas, so the Gemara right now thinks that there is a contradiction between what we just learned in the Braisa versus what we saw in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says the Kohen sells it to you and he says, I'm selling to you except for the head. So the Kohen gets to retain the head. Here the Kohen says, I'll sell to you on condition that you give me the matanos. You don't have to give him the matanos. Now, if you listen carefully, the difference between them is clear. In fact, it's so clear the Gemara immediately recoils. Amenas achot karamis? What are you asking me? You're asking me the difference between amenas and chutz? Meaning, if the Kohen owns the animal and he says to you, I'm selling all the animal except for this, he could do whatever he wants in terms of a sale. If he wants to exclude something from the sale, he has every right to do so. And he wants to exclude the head, by all means, he'll exclude the head. In the second case, he's not making an exclusion. The sale is a full and complete sale, and then he's telling him gifting. And you think about it, by the way, you realize that from a business standpoint, you understand why the Kohen would rather do the amanas versus the chutz. Because on the amanas, so the Kohen is now selling the entire animal. He's making more money. On the chutz, he's excluding the head. So right, you realize that the difference between the two is a huge difference. So chutz, shiur, amanas, lav shiur. The Gemara says it straight out. And that when it's chutz, you're actually excluding something from the sale. And the amanas, you're not. And then you can't then go around and say to the buyer, oh, and by the way, now go ahead and turn around and give me my matanos, you don't have the right to do that. Or remainu amanasha matana shali amatana shalom. So the Gemara says, okay, good. No stira, you're right. How about this brisa? The brisa says that if you say amanas, so amanasha amatana shali amatana shalom, so the matanos do go to him. So the Gemara says, Bahak pligi, marsav amanas shirahu, marsav amanas lav shirahu. The Gemara says, now, because there, I mean, yes, it's a stira. Yes, that it's a stira. But that second brisa is of the position that when you say amanas, that means exclusion. It doesn't mean on condition that you give it to me, but amanas actually means I'm excluding the head from the sale. Okay. Amarli machorli b'nei meha. Amar rav loshana lo shashakal atzmo. Aval shakal otabach hadin im hatabach. Okay. Now we go to the end of the Mishnah. Okay, now I can say it. We're at the end of the Mishnah. Sorry. Now I'm good. At the end of the Mishnah. And the end of the Mishnah went on to discuss a case where you went to the butcher, you bought the intestines from the butcher, the entire GI tract from the butcher. Obviously, the fourth stomach was included. So what does the Mishnah say? So you got to give the fourth stomach to the Kohen. He's rightfully entitled to it, and you got to give it to him. And you can't go back to the butcher for a discount, for a refund, because you and him know that he had no right to sell it to you. That wasn't even his to sell. Good. And then the Mishnah went on to make a distinction, meaning what if he sold it by weight? Okay. Rav says like this, Lo shanu elo sheshakol atzmo, aval shakol otavach hadin ematavach. The Kohen's going to take somebody to court. Now, we already discussed that, that if it was already eaten or was already consumed, so then the Kohen has no legal recourse. Okay, but we're not there. Right now, we're discussing a scenario where the cave of the fourth stomach is right in front of us. And now, Rav says like this, if you're the one who took it, meaning the butcher never actually handled the meat, I know it's hard to imagine, you walk into a butcher, usually, you're not even touching anything, meaning he's handling everything. But Rav says, our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where the butcher didn't handle a thing, you're the one that handled everything. Then the Kohen runs after you and chases you down. But if it was the butcher who was the one who took the intestines, including the fourth stomach, and handed it to you, so Rav says there, it was the butcher who did wrong. And the Kohen, who does the Kohen go after in terms of recourse? Kohen goes after the butcher.
Which Kohen are we talking
about? It's a great question. Meaning because,
it
has to be a class action. We go back to our class action discussion. And Ravasi disagrees. And Ravasi says no. That even if the butcher was the one who packaged everything together and handed it to the buyer, Cohen still goes after the buyer. Now, lema b'derav chista kamifalgi. Now, listen carefully. This is so interesting. L'chora, presumably, the Gemara says the whole debate over here is the debate is a controversy about a statement that was made by Rav Chista. Dam Rav Chista, gazov alon nisyashu abalim. Let's say there was a gzela. Someone came and stole from me. And the thief, and I didn't have yeush, which means I want my item back. I know who took it, and I'm gonna deal with it. Uva acher va'achla. And now the thief, as you can well imagine, he hangs out with other thieves. They do that, and along comes somebody else and takes it from my thief. So ratzamizegova. Now me, the victim, I have recourse from either party. I can go to this thief or I can go to the second thief. Meaning I'm entitled. Now I can't double dip. Okay? No one get excited. But but I can go, I have recourse to go to either one of them. And if I want, let's say I go to the first thief, and the first thief just simply doesn't have money. Probably why he's in the business. Okay? And he doesn't have anything. So in this particular scenario, I can now go to the second thief and I can say, look, my first thief, the one who took it from me, he didn't have any. I know you took it from him, right? Witnesses, the whole, we'll cover the gamut. I know you took it from him. I'm going to you, and I have recourse from you. Says Rav Chista that you could do that. You have recourse from both parties. The Gemara now is suggesting this statement of Rav Chista is maybe open for debate and controversy. Meaning Rav's position, who says that you can go after the Tavach. And by the way, I did not make this clear, and now I will. And Rashi points this out. It means af min haTavach, meaning you can go after the butcher, meaning the Kohen can also go after the butcher. Rav subscribes to Rav Chista's principle that if you have two gazlanim, now here, it's interesting, we're going to call the butcher gazlan, but if the shoe fits, the butcher is a gazlan, meaning that that keva did not belong to the butcher. The butcher had no right to take that keva and hand it over to a seller. So the butcher is a thief, right? Yeah, well, the shoe fits, right? So he stole from the Kohen. And the buyer is also a thief. So could be that Rav subscribes to this concept of Rav Chista, that you have your options of recourse if there are two thieves involved. And Mar Isle de Rav Chista or Mar Lesle de Rav Chista. That could be the machlokus between Rav and Rav Asi, whether we subscribe to the viewpoint of Rav Chista. The Gemara says, "Lo, not necessarily." Meaning, let's leave Rav Chista out of this discussion. Let's say that everyone subscribes to Rav Chista, that if there are two thieves to your item, you do have an option of recourse. You can go to the first thief, you can go to the second thief. The question over here is, do we view an act of taking the keva as an act of stealing? If stealing were the topic of discussion, we all would agree to Rav Chista. You have recourse, and you have option of recourse. Correct. Right? Listen to Ben saying it beautifully. Over here, the issue is, do we view the Kohen as a clear and definitive owner of it? Or maybe no. Maybe you have an act of giving that's required. But prior to your act of giving, we don't view the Kohen as a definitive owner of the item. And so maybe, look, we're not discussing right and wrong over here. It's absolutely wrong not to give the matanas to the Kohen. That's not the discussion. The discussion over here is purely legal. Is the Kohen viewed as the owner of the item? If he is, so then we go to Rav Chista. Rav Chista now says Kohen again. I know which Kohen, okay, but leave that aside right now. But Cohen, let's just call him Cohen, or we'll call it class action, right? Cohen goes over now to the butcher and says, "You're a thief. That belonged to me." Butcher says, "So look, I don't have anything right now." Now the Cohen can go to the buyer and says to the buyer, "You're the thief. You're the one who stole it from me." And so therefore, we'll employ the rule of Rav Chista. You have recourse and you have option of recourse. However, Rav Asi, who disagrees, doesn't disagree with Rav Chista. Disagrees on a different from a different standpoint, which is the Kohen is not the owner. When you give it to him, obviously it will then belong to him. But prior to giving it to him, we do not formally look at him as the owner. Some say that this machlok between Rav and Rav Asi, some just teach it separate from our Mishnah, meaning just simply as more principled. Matanus Kohen and exalts. I'm sorry, Rav Amar Matanus Kohen exalts, Rav Asi Amar Matanus Kohen ain't exalts. And, by the way, Dr. Zagi, we go, what? Was it flipped? No. That falls right in line with what we said. Because we said that Rav says that you do have recourse. Because you have recourse because the Kohen is viewed as the owner. And we agree with Rav, meaning the halacha falls like Rav. So that means then that the Kohen is viewed as the owner of the Matanos prior to you giving it. Your giving means that you have the ability to select which coin it is, but even before you select, it does, it's matnos kahuna, meaning it's ownership, ownership has been established beforehand.
But it's interesting because the Kohen himself doesn't have a claim against you, but it's a claim against a robber or a thief.
No, he only has a claim because somebody took it. Correct.
If you didn't give it to the Kohen, he doesn't have a claim against you.
Right,
but if somebody stole, he's got a claim against you.
Right. It is interesting. It's so.
If it stole, he's against the person.
Huh?
If somebody stole from the person, who's going to be responsible? The person or the thief?
No, he said thief. What do you mean? The thief has liability. But here there are two thieves because the butcher was the first thief because he took the keva and he should have given it to a Kohen. Now he sold it to a buyer, and then the buyer is your second thief because he's the one who took it. Meaning.
But he could always claim.
I get. We're assuming here in this discussion, we're assuming that everyone knew.
But the thing is that in this case, case against the butcher. The first.
Once the butcher. Right. I'll tell you what. Let's table this discussion. It's a good discussion. Let's table it and see. You know, you can see me after after class. Okay. Gershon is Gar Vaitzel Apara. Okay. You have a convert. He converts and he had a and he had a part. Now this probably during the point of during his conversion, maybe not be the first thing on his mind, but look, there's a big difference. Ashalon is Gar Pater. If he would have shechted the animal prior to his conversion, so then he wouldn't have to give matanas. Now I know we talk about him shechting an animal. He's not a Jew. The shechita is not a good shechita. I guess we're talking about where he commissioned a Jew to shecht it. Okay, you know, don't miss the main point of the Mishnah, which is as a non-Jew, he's exempt from matanos. Mishin is gayer, but if he shechted it after his conversion, chayev. So then he would be chayev safek. Now, what if it's a safek? And I can construct a very simple example, meaning let's go back to the idea where he commissioned someone to shecht it. Okay? He says, and then later that day he says, you know, good day to convert. Why not? And maybe the animal was going to be used as his feast. Suda's mitzvah for his conversion. And now he goes back and he says, and he asks the guy, well, when did you convert? He says, well, sometime today. I don't know when exactly. When did you convert? Oh, I don't know. Sometime today. I don't know exactly. And so it's a suffix. So what's the rule? Pater. You don't have to give matanos. Because unlike other types of matanos, like truma, like chala, right, where there, it's not just a monetary issue. There's isser involved. So then, of course, we're going to be machmir. But over here, matanos is just a monetary state. Like, not ever, no. What do you mean?
In this
parak, yeah. In the context of matanos, yes. So, correct. Correct. So, right, Shamotzi, correct. This is the first Mishnah reference of it. Shamotzi mechaver ala veraya. Ki asa ravdimi amar ramilei. So, amar. So, ravdimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he goes over the discussion that takes place amongst the amarim of Eretz Yisrael. Ramilei, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rav Yochanan, Tanan, Safik Pater. Amas feka lakula. So Reish Lakish says to his brother-in-law, Rav Yochanan, so I'll show you a Mishnah in Chulin in the 10th parak, i.e. the one we just learned. And what do you see? That when it comes to a Safik, you could be Mekel, you could be lenient. Or Reminu, and on that, I'm going to show you a Mishnah in Peah. Now the Mishnah in Peah describes the following. The mitzvah of Leket, you have, after you're harvesting, you left over one grain, two grains, collected by the aniyim, by the poor people, right? Entitled by the aniyim, not just a nice thing to do. There's an entitlement. They actually are zoche. Chorei hanamalim shebesocha kama. You have ant holes. Now I don't know. I'd like a picture of this in order to fully understand it. But in other words, understandably, sometimes some of the stalks get stuck in the ant hole. Anyway, harei elu shebetocha kama, harei elu shebalabayis. The ones that have not been harvested yet still belong to the Baal HaBayis because the Baal HaBayis didn't leave it over. However, shalachar ha-kotzrim, but what if the kotzrim went through the field, the harvesters went through the field, and left some sheaves on the field? Ha-elyonim la'aniyim v'atachtonim shal Baal HaBayis. The ones that are elyon, that are above ground and totally visible and just simply left by the kotzrim, entitled by the aniyim. What about the ones that are in the ant hole, that are not visible, and therefore totally justifiable that the kotzer missed them, still belong to the Baal HaBayis? Rabbi Meir Omer, I call the aniyim, shesafik leket leket. Now Rabbi Meir says it all goes to the aniyim, even the ones in the ant holes, it's a suffik. Suffik leket is leket. Meaning even though it's questionable who it belongs to, we're going to give it to the ani. Okay.
Was there a period of time that the aniyim would come and then after they leave, then whatever is left is back to the owner?
No. It belongs to the ani. Totally belongs to the ani. So what we have now is a steerer between the two mishnayos. Our mishnah says that in the world of matanos, if you have a safek, stays by the owner.
Right.
Here in the mishnah and peah, you have a safek. And it goes to the aniyim, so Rav Shimon ben Lakish says to his brother-in-law, I see it as being a problem. So Amalei, so Rav Yochanan's first response is, Al tak nitin eshabaloshin yachin anishona osar. D'tanya, Rav Yehuda ben Agra, Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, Safik leket leket, Safik shichach shichach, Safik peya peya. So Rav Yochanan says, first of all, I know you're quoting Rav Meir to me, I understand that, but it's not Rav Meir definitive. It's one time according Rav Meir, it's Beloshon Yachin. Meaning, I'm questioning, Rav Yochanan saying this, I'm questioning the validity of that statement. So I'm a lot to Shanasa Allah Beloshon Mentito. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, look, you can quote it in whosever name you want. Meaning, quote in the name of Ben Tidal. Rashi says Ben Tidal was the name of some fool. In other words, Reish Lakish says, I don't care who you're quoting in the name of. So the Gemara says, look, because we have a svara. Ani v'rash hatzdiku. I'm only familiar with this pasuk in Tehillim because we say it once a week. Okay, so, you know, it sinks in. Right, like it's like the water in the stone. It penetrates. So my hatzdiku. Now, ani v'rash, rash means a poor person as well. Hatzdiku. You have to, tilt in his direction. Right, tilt in their direction. My hatzdiku, ilema bidayanim. Now, what does that mean? That if a poor person goes to court, so right, you give them the benefit of the doubt in court? No, you can't do that. Court's got to be fair and impartial. It's justice. The hatziv adalos adabri bo. The pasuk goes out of its way to say in parshas mishpatim, that right, good place to put it. Right, that da'alo sad da'baribo. Don't favor the poor person. Meaning, I understand you'd want to, but you got to follow justice system. Ela sadek mishacha v'tein lo. It means that when there's an arena in halacha, when you can favor them, like for example, peya, right, or shichacha, or leket, where it's questionable, should it go to the ani, should it not go to the ani? So you know what? Tilt it in the favor of the ani. Okay. So here's what bothers the Gemara. Now that we know that, and it's quoted in Rav Meir, don't quote in Rav Meir, whatever the case is, now there's a stira. Our Mishnah says by Matnos Kahuna. So if it's a suffix, you keep it. In Matnos Aniyim, if it's a suffix, give it to him. Now it's interesting. I'm just going to throw it out there, even though the Gemara does not say this. Could very well be that the whole difference is what we just quoted. Meaning, the difference is that by a poor person,
you go out of your way
to favor the poor person. Right. As Reish Lakish just quoted. As opposed to a Kohen, meaning if there's no Isser issue, if this G issue is just money, you say to the Kohen, look, I'm Muslim Chavero. That could be the simple explanation, and I'm not sure why the Gemara does not go down that avenue. Okay, Amar Rava. Could be that the Gemara has a more fundamental principle that it wants to employ. Maybe that's it. Okay, anyway, I'm not sure. Amar Rava Hacha, Para Becheskas, Petura Kaima, Kama Becheskas, Chiyuva Kaima. So, Rava says, we're going to introduce Chazaka into the whole discussion. And how are we going to introduce Chazaka? It's very simple. Because in our case, in the Mishnah, yeah, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish were first generation Amoraim. And Rav is in the middle. Yeah. Right, he's in the middle of the pack.
So they kept talking about this issue.
Yeah. Generation. So, this issue bounced around. So Rav says that when it comes to our Mishnah and Chulin, so it's whose chazakah is in? Whose presumption is in? The owner. And not only that, he started off as being a guy, which means that the entire animal belonged to him. And now it's a question of, well, when was it shechted? Before the conversion, after the conversion? We don't know. It's a suffix. So, Hamotz Mechaver Olav Araya, he not only has ownership, he has chazaka. In other words, the assumption was that the whole thing belonged to him. However, when it comes to the produce in the field, so, Becheskas Chiyuva Kayama. So, which presumption it is? It's in a presumption of being chayav in Lekish Shechan Peya. Okay. Also, by the way, needs more understanding. Meaning, we talk about the chazak of the produce. The chazak of the produce really belongs to the balabayas. It just happens to be that if the produce get into a certain state, meaning you forgot it, or there's some left over, so then it belongs to the ani. So, really it needs more better understanding, that which I lack, in terms of why we're viewing the Lakashech HaPeya in the Chazaka of the Ani. I understand that we give it to the Ani, but as being Chazaka, okay. Amalei Abai v'harei Isa nasas Ashalon izgayer patar menachala mishen izgayer chayev safek chayev. So the Gemara says, what about this? We have a Mishnah in Chala that discusses basically the same scenario. A non-Jew has dough. He converts. When was the dough made? Before his conversion, after his conversion, either he made it and he forgot, or somebody else made it for him. Whatever the case is, what's the din? Safek, it is Chala, you give it to the Kohen. So Amar Leh, so he says, that's not a question at all. You're talking about Chala. A non-Kohen were to eat Chala, what's the result? That's Misa B'dei Shamayim. Meaning you're talking about Isser. So the Gemara says, Isser L'chumra, Safek Mamon L'kula. If it's monetary issue, like Matanos, so Amotim Echaver Olavaraya. Once you introduce Chala into the discussion, then there's the Isser. So then we're going to sign on the on the side of caution, meaning you shouldn't eat the Chala. It may in fact be Chala. Amar Rav Chisda v'chein Tani Rav Chiya Shmona Sveikas Nemro Beger Arba L'chiyah v'Arba L'ftor. Okay, four of them are going to obligate. Four of them are going to potter. And it's very simple. In other words, if it's only a monetary issue, the convert gets to keep it. If it's an iser issue, so then you have to give it away. For example, Karbanishto, this is a fun one. This is a real fun one. Safik Yalda Kishahaisa over his kochavim, Safik Mishinis Gaia. She had a baby. And she doesn't know, was it before the conversion or was it after the conversion? Now,
maybe she converted once and it wasn't good, and then she converted again, and we don't know.
Okay, I guess we could come up. You know, look, I mean, having a baby is very emotional. Conversion is very emotional. You know, two highly charged emotional events happening pretty much around the same time. Okay. Anyway, carbon ishto chala. Okay, Bechor Behema Temeya, Bechor Behema Tahora, Lechiv. In all four of these cases, if we do not know whether or not the Chiv was incurred before the conversion, after the conversion, we're going to go on the side of Chomra, simply because there's Isser involved in all of these. Turn page. However, Reishis against the first shearings of the sheep, Matanos, the gifts of the Zor L'chaim V'keva, Pidyon HaBen, the five slime given to the Kohen, Pidyon Petr Chamor, the sheep that you gave to the Kohen in transference for the firstborn donkey, where the sheep does not have any kedusha. The sheep is mammon. It's monetary. So in all those cases, if it's a suffix, so the convert is exempt because it's only a monetary issue. Kiasa Ravin Amar Kam Akama Ramile. You know how this works. It's so textbook. Meaning, Rav Dimi came in from Eretz Yisrael, and he quoted the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish as we just had it. Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he has a slightly different version of what went down. He doesn't give us much detail. He says, Kama Kama Ramile. Rashi simply says that Reish Lakish had a series of brisos that contradicted one another, and we went through the discussion as we just did. Okay. Levi Zara Bekishur. Velohava aniim lemishka leket, also lekamed derav sheishes amrlei lani velagerta azov asam velo laorvim velo laat leifim. Gemara tells a story with Levi, first generation Amora. He was sowing seeds in the town of Kishur, and there were just simply no poor people there. A town with no poor people. I know, sounds fictitious, and yeah. Asa l'kamid de Rav Sheshes, and he came in front of Rav Sheshes, and he says to Rav Sheshes, here's my question, it's such a simple one. I'm more than happy to give leket. There's nobody collecting. And so now my question is, can I keep it? Such a simple question. So Rav Sheshes says, yep, you can keep it. The Pasuk says, la'ani v'lager la'tazov asam. You leave it for the poor people. But not for ravens, not for bats, meaning for poor people. And if there's no poor person collecting, So then you can keep it.
Right.
There's a lot of 2 weeks. There are details here which are not explicated. Right. I don't know, but I'll tell you what. After we finish the sugya, you have somewhat of a better handle. Meitzvein mevi'in truma lo migaron le'ir lo mi'minbar li'yishuv. Mi'main shan kohen so chaparim mevi'im imnei hefsei truma. Now, the by truma, you go out of your way to find your kohen. You pay for shipping if you need to in order to get the truma to the kohen. So the Gemara says, shani truma de tavla, v'lo sagya de lo mafish le. So the Gemara says, no. That's no. By truma, that's tevel, meaning truma is usher to a non kohen. And not only that, but you had to separate it anyway. So not a fair comparison. Not to be added to the discussion. Hare matanos de lo tavle. The Gemara says, okay, good. So truma, you don't want to bring into this discussion. But matanos, that's money, and it's strictly money. And v'tanya will enter the brisa. Makom shenagu limlog ba'agalim lo yafshid ezro lo yafshid es ezro lahafshid es arosh lo yafshid es alechi v'im ein shan kohen malan oson bedamim va'ochlim mimnei hefzei kohen. All right, there's a discussion about whether it's with the skin, whether it's without the skin. I'll tell you what. Let's get to the key point over here, which is yishach an animal. You're supposed to give the ezro lachayin keva to a kohen. No coin around. Now, this is meat. It's a very, very limited shelf life. I know you could salt it, but it's a limited shelf life. So what do you do? Mal nosa bedamim. Figure out how much it was worth. Ochla, you eat it, but the money you give to the coin. Meaning you don't get a pass, even if you can't find a coin. No, it's just, in other words, you don't. It's not yours. It belongs to the Kohen. So that's the question. The question is, so by the Lakish HaChampeya, should be the same thing. Shani Mantanus Kahuna de Nesina Ksivave. So the Gemara says, yeah, but by Kohen, the Torah says, Venasan, you got to give it. So you can't, failure to find a Kohen is not justification to simply say, sorry, didn't find a Kohen. Torah says, Venasan. So the Gemara says, and now that we have that on our arsenal of answers, so we can go back to Truma, even though the Tevel answer seems to be a good answer, but we could just simply say Truma, same story. It says Nesina. How about Matnas Aniyim? Doesn't say Nesina. It says Ve'ela Ta'azov. You say, I'm sorry. It simply says leave it for the Aniyim. Ta'azov. So ve'ela tazov yisera lamali l'chedetanya. Now it says tazov twice. Why does it say it twice? And here, Hedy, it helps us a little bit in terms of your question you asked me earlier about how long you have to leave the leket out before you can go and take it. Hamafkir's karmo. Let's say a person does the following, right? Guy who likes living on the edge of law. Okay, here's what he does. Like, in other words, not an illegal guy, but just barely legal, right? He knows the law inside out. Hamafkir is karma. So that night, right before going to bed, he declares his vineyard to be ownerless. Okay. And then now, huh? Uleshachar hishkim. Next morning, really early in the morning, he wakes up. Ubitzro. Oh, look at that. Who knew? A vineyard out here in the middle of nowhere, ownerless? And you know what he was trying to achieve. You know what his goal was. In other words, now it's ownerless. It's exempt. No trumos, no maestros. Oh, can you imagine? So, chayev beperet uva olos v'shichu v'peo patem in amaso. So, interestingly enough, yeah, so in other words, he doesn't have to give Meiser, but he still needs to give the Matanos to the Aniyim.
He still has to give his payroll tax.
Right. Yeah. Right, payroll.
But his intention is really not to make it healthy.
Correct. It's not right. I agree. Not right, but legally advisable. Remember, sometimes in halacha, in other words, there's room for harama. Okay, now it's not condoned, but there's room for it. So upata min ha-maisa, so he's exempt from maisa, but he's not exempt from the matanos aniyim. Why not? That's what you get from the extra tazov. The extra tazov tells us that really leave it for the aniyim. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I'm being serious about this. In other words, you can't, you can bypass masros. In doing this, not recommended, not advised, but you can bypass masros. You can't bypass matanos aniyim. Right. How who stacked the dinar dasal lebe midrasha? The sack of money left in the base medrash. Kadim Rabbi Ami v'zacha behem. Now Rabbi Ami says, okay, that's he helps himself. So the Gemara says, now wait a second. Meaning the person who deposited the money in the base medrash wanted to give that as a as staka. Rabbi Ami helped himself, but that's not how staka works. You have to be the recipient of staka. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami nas anami laniyim zacha behem. Answer number one, he took it not for himself, but as a gabet staka. Ibais ema adam chashav shani. Adam chashav is different. Now the Gemara uses this line very often. Adam chashav is different. And in this context, why is adam chashav different? The Gemara continues to explain. Detanya. V'ha-kohen ha-gadol me'echav she'egadol me'echav b'noi b'chachma uva osher. Right? Part of the prerequisite, the criteria of being a kohen gadol, is you gotta be big. You have to be good looking, you gotta be tall, you have to be smart, and you have to be wealthy. All the criteria to being the kohen gadol. Acherim omrim minayin shim ein lo she'echav ha-kohanim me'gadlin oso. According to the Acherim, what if he's not wealthy? Right? Well, wealth is a funny thing. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu determines. So it comes and it goes. So what if he's not wealthy, but he's got all the other qualifications? So you know what? The other Kohanim should make him wealthy. Meaning that there's a requirement to make him independently wealthy. You understand that, by the way. In other words, his wealth is going to make him immune, hopefully, to pressures and to, you know, and he'll make, you know, decisions that are, and money will not play a factor and a role in it. Okay, that's the basic idea. Point is that that's how the Gemara understands Adam Chashav over here, meaning that Rabbi Ami was a Rosh Yeshiva, he was out of the Yeshiva. So for him, it was important that he be in a financially safe and secure situation. And so therefore, generally speaking, Tzedakah should be an Asina. In this particular case, with Rabbi Ami, the Gemara's second answer is Adam Chashav is different. Okay, we have one more Mishnah to go. Obviously, we're going to leave this Mishnah for tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to actually learn, I know it's the last Mishnah of the Perek, what are you giving to the Kohen? Meaning, we keep saying Zor L'chai V'keiva, but what does that actually entail? God willing, tomorrow we start the 11th Perek of Chulin Reishis Hagez, the wool that goes to the Kohen as well. Please, everyone, come back. Okay, stay tuned.